Hey, good morning, everyone. This is Cherry Lane Genoway calling to order the August 12, 2022 meeting of the Orange County Senior Citizens Advisory Council. This meeting is being recorded, and we will begin the meeting with inspiration from Dave Tetzlaff, and then Carol Moore will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. So if everyone besides Dave and Carol could please mute.
Good morning, all. What I selected today was six little stories with lots of meanings. Once all villagers decided to pray for rain. On the day of prayer, all the people gathered, but only one boy came with an umbrella. That is faith. When you throw babies in the air, they laugh because you know you will catch them. That is trust. Every night we go to bed without any assurance of being alive the next morning, but still we set the alarms to wake up. That is hope. We plan big things for tomorrow in spite of zero knowledge of the future. That is confidence. We see the world suffering, but still we get married and have children. That is love. On an old man's shirt was written a sentence, I am not 80 years old. I am sweet 16 with 64 years of experience. And that is attitude. Have a happy day. Live your life like these six stories. Remember, good friends are the rare jewels of life, difficult to find, and impossible to replace. Thank you. That's all, folks.
Thank you, Dave. And Carol Moore, I saw Carol before. Did she drop off? Okay, well. We could all please rise and I will fill in for Carol. Please say the Pledge of Allegiance along with me as we pledge our allegiance to our great country. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Okay, now if we could please have, I keep cutting in and out. I don't know if you can hear me or not, but I'm seeing flickering. We could please have Desiree call roll.
Charlene Ashendorf.
Present.
Linda Barcelona.
Present.
Denise Barnes.
Present.
Elizabeth Busick.
Present.
Amelia Castro.
Present.
Meredith Chalemi. I believe I saw Meredith join.
Yeah, Meredith is on there.
I see her too.
Oh, okay. I will mark Meredith here. Carol Downey.
Present.
Elaine Genoway.
Present.
Jean Hernandez. Carolyn Inman.
Present.
Jim Levy.
Present.
Crystal Miles. Carol Moore.
Present.
Paulo Morales.
I am here, present.
Patty Mouton. Joni Nichols. Joni Nichols. Oh, I see her. Hi, Joni. Mary Perdue.
Present.
John Poynter. John Poynter. Tony Rodella.
Hoorah!
Amina St. Matthews. Barbara Sloat.
Present.
Sandy Stang.
Present.
Dave Sullivan.
Present.
Dave Tetzloff.
Present.
Jeffrey Rodriguez.
Present.
And Evelyn Velez.
Present.
And we do have quorum, Chair.
I don't know why it keeps doing that, but our first action item is AB 361, review and make findings required by government code subsection 54953E3. Is there a motion to recommend that we continue virtual meetings due to the proclaimed state of emergency arising from COVID-19? Meeting in person presents imminent risks to the health and safety of attendees, and the emergency continues to directly impact the ability of the members to meet safely in person.
I move.
Okay, moved by Elizabeth Busick. Is there a second? Seconded by Barbara Sloat. Desiree, could you please take a roll call vote?
Charlene Ashendorf?
Yes.
Linda Barcelona?
No.
Denise Barnes?
Yes.
Elizabeth Busick?
Yes.
Amelia Castro?
Yes.
Meredith Chalemi?
Aye.
Carol Downey?
Aye.
Elaine Genoway?
Aye.
Jean Hernandez? Carolyn Inman?
Yes.
Jim Levy?
Yes.
Crystal Miles? Carol Moore? Carol Moore?
Aye.
Thank you. Paolo Morales?
Yes.
Patty Mouton? Joni Nichols? We didn't hear you, Joni, but I know you're having issues. A thumbs up or thumbs down. Thank you. I see a thumbs up. Mary Perdue?
Aye.
John Pointer?
Yes.
Tony Rodella?
Aye.
Amina St. Matthews?
Yes.
Barbara Sloat?
Yes.
Sandy Stang?
Yes.
Dave Sullivan?
Yes.
Dave Tetzloff?
Aye.
Jeffrey Rodriguez?
Aye.
And Evelyn Velez?
Yes.
And that is majority, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Desiree. Okay, so the motion passes. And Desiree, do we have any guests with us today? I don't see any. Aside from our speakers.
We do have, on the panelists, just our speakers, and I believe we do have members of the public, but the guests today are the speakers.
Okay. All right, then we will move on to the presentation, and our presentation coordinator, Meredith Chalemi, will introduce today's program.
Yes, good morning, everyone. It's great to see all of your faces and your names. Today, we are having a presentation that focuses on housing options and coordination for older adults. I am going to introduce our two speakers and then invite them to speak and share their slides. So our first speaker is going to be Shafira Roslin. Her title is the Senior Housing Coordinator, and she is one of two housing coordinators at the Dale McIntosh Center, an independent living center that helps people with disabilities access and maintain independence. Dale McIntosh is part of the county's Aging and Disability Resource Connection. And we love acronyms, so that's the ADRC. You may hear it referred to as the ADRC, where they partner with organizations such as the Office on Aging to help connect older adults and people with disabilities with resources and support services. In Shafira's role, she helps older adults and people with disabilities work towards their housing goals by sharing resources and education on how to conduct housing searches, subsidized housing options, tenants' rights and responsibilities, and financial assistance resources. After she gives her presentation, we're going to hear next from Stephanie Palmer, who's a gerontologist. Stephanie was the first person ever to complete a dual master's degree at USC in business administration and gerontology, which is the study of aging. Throughout her career, she has been passionate about improving programs and services for older adults. She's created wellness programs serving low-income seniors and assisted living residents. She saw leadership positions in senior housing, home care, health insurance, and nonprofit organizations. Stephanie believes strongly that home sharing is a creative, compassionate, and cost-effective solution to help end homelessness, and she has shared her home over the years with two college students. So looking forward to hearing from both of you, and right now I will pass it over to Shafira for your presentation.
Thank you, Meredith. Good morning, everyone. Happy Friday. Thanks for having me. I will start sharing my screen. Can you see the presentation? Okay, perfect. So thank you again, Meredith, for the introduction. My name is Shafira. Like she mentioned, I'm one of the two housing coordinators at the Dale McIntosh Center. So a little bit more about the Dale McIntosh Center. We are the local independent living center in Orange County. I did want to make a note that we are not a residential living facility. A lot of people get that confused when they hear that we're an independent living center, so I just wanted to make that clear. We provide services for people with disabilities and older adults aged 55 and older. I do want to make note that we don't require documentation for disability, so when someone says that they have a disability, we'll just take their word for it. We don't require them to present any documents or anything like that. Our mission is by and for people with disabilities. We are a peer-based organization. So what that means is most of our staff is composed of individuals who have disabilities and met the challenge of becoming self-sufficient. We follow the independent living philosophy. So what that means is we work with, not for, our consumers to address their concerns and achieve personal goals towards maximum independence. The services that we provide include personal assistance services, aging with vision loss, deaf services, and assistive technology. So as the only independent living center in Orange County, the state requires us to partner with the local area agency on aging, which is the Orange County Office on Aging, to be core partners of the ADRC. The ADRC is a network of service providers who provide information and long-term support services for older adults and people with disabilities. We follow the no wrong door approach. So if a consumer comes in and requests services from us, even if we don't provide that direct service, we always follow the no wrong door approach and we connect them with the organization that would be able to help. Other partner agencies include the OC Veteran Service Office, the OC Adult Protective Services, 211 OC, Alzheimer's OC, CHEOC, and Cal Optima. I just wanted to take a little bit of time to talk about some of the challenges that we face in our housing department, but don't worry, I'm not gonna leave it on this like kind of like doomy and gloomy mood, especially on a Friday morning. At the very end, I'll highlight some of our success stories, so we won't be leaving it on like a negative note or anything. So first, I wanted to say that affordable housing is sometimes not affordable, especially for our consumers who their income is usually only from Social Security. So they only really live off of $900 to $1,000 a month, and they somehow are expected to be able to afford housing, food, transportation with a very low income. Not only that, they will usually have a lot of trouble meeting minimum income requirements. Most properties expect them to make at least 2 to 3 times the rent, and that's already difficult enough when they are having trouble meeting the base rent. So what they'll typically do is they'll turn to look for subsidized housing. However, there are long waiting lists for subsidized housing. I believe the average waiting time for subsidized housing right now is 3 to 5 years, so it is very long. There's also a lack of housing options that meet preferences and accessibility needs. So if somebody needed an accessible unit, or let's say if they needed a ground floor unit because they utilized a wheelchair, there might not be as many housing options available for them, and that might make wait time even longer. Another issue that we commonly face is HUD's definition of homelessness. They recently changed it to be literally homeless. So what we hear from our consumers is when they need to get an emergency housing voucher, or if they need to go into a shelter or be added to the coordinated entry system, they have to wait until they're literally homeless. So it doesn't matter if they got an eviction notice and they're at risk for homelessness, or if they're staying with family and friends, they may not be eligible for those services until they are literally homeless. And that might be really challenging for our consumers, especially the ones who have a disability. And even when they are literally homeless and they want to go into a shelter, there might be low shelter availability, especially during these times of COVID. So if there's a COVID outbreak, a lot of shelters will shut down for a few weeks. So it's just, it can be quite challenging for our consumers. However, we navigate these challenges through our housing services. So we try to educate our consumers on their different housing options based on their situation. We provide housing resources. We teach them the skills so that they can be ready for different housing opportunities. We provide advocacy, such as helping them file for reasonable accommodations, and based on our funding availability, we might even provide some home modifications to make their homes more accessible and safe. And this is a little bit of a glimpse, a more in-depth glimpse of how we interact with our consumers. So like Meredith mentioned before, I'm one of two housing coordinators at DMC. So whenever we receive a referral, we'll listen to that individual situation, and based on their situation, we'll explain what housing options are available and the services we provide. We'll set the goals and develop a housing plan based on their goals, and we'll have an outcome. So for example, we'll have them learn how to conduct an independent housing search. We'll connect them with resources such as Section 8 or a project-based voucher. That's what PBV stands for. And we'll help them connect with some financial assistance. So I just wanted to take some time to talk about our referral process. To receive our services, an individual can contact either DMC or one of our ADRC partner organizations, and I'll include our contact information at the very end. So once they contact one of us, the ADRC service provider or the DMC receptionist will then fill out a referral form containing the individual's basic information, their current situation, and the types of services that they're requesting. And once we receive the referral, we'll contact the individual within 5 business days. Here are some common types of referrals that we receive. The first one is requests for emergency housing. So for example, if they're getting evicted and they need to find a place to live tomorrow, we try to make it very clear that unfortunately we do not provide emergency housing. Like I mentioned before, we are not a residential living facility, so we don't, you know, have rooms for them to live in. But instead we try to connect them with different emergency shelters in Orange County, and we share housing leads such as rooms for rent. Another common type of referral is requests for Section 8 vouchers or motel vouchers. Unfortunately, we ourselves cannot issue a voucher, but instead we educate them on the various types of subsidized housing available, and we help them apply for what is available. Some of our consumers will also ask us to stop an eviction, or they'll ask for help with larger advocacy issues beyond reasonable accommodations. Although we can help with reasonable accommodations and modifications, we can't really help with larger advocacy issues beyond that, because we are not lawyers, unfortunately. We can't stop the eviction, but instead we inform them what their rights are as a tenant, and we share tips on how they can mediate their situation with their landlord. We also commonly get requests for financial assistance. So in these situations, we connect them with one-time financial assistance programs. For example, we'll help them apply to their city's emergency rental assistance program. We'll connect them with utility assistance, such as the CARE program, or we'll connect them with other local organizations that offer financial assistance. We also offer housing workshops. These workshops cover five different topics. The first one is Housing Search 101. So this is a step-by-step tutorial on how you can use technology for housing opportunities and how to conduct housing searches. The second topic is housing applications and document readiness. And in this workshop, we share tips on how consumers can fill out housing applications, and we help them prepare to be document ready for housing interviews. The third topic is subsidized housing. So we'll go over the different types of subsidized housing, including Section 8 and project-based apartments. The fourth topic is budgeting for housing. So we teach our consumers about income limits, rental assistance programs, and we share tips on how to save up for a security deposit. And the last topic is Know Your Rights. And during this workshop, we review tenants' rights and responsibilities, and we share tips on how to communicate with your landlord. So all of these housing workshops are held online via Zoom. And at the end, I'll share this presentation with Meredith and also our housing workshop flyer so you could see when these workshops take place and how you can RSVP. And I'm sure you're curious on what resources are available for seniors specifically. Whenever we get a referral for an older adult, these are the common resources that we share with them. The first is the senior housing list. This is updated every year through the Office on Aging. The second one is the affordable housing list. This is generated by the county. We'll also give them resources on subsidized housing, such as the project-based vouchers or the MHSA, which is the Mental Health Service Act units. Those are housing options specifically for people with mental health concerns. We'll also share resources for room rentals. We receive a list weekly from the city of Costa Mesa, so we'll forward that to consumers who are interested in renting a room. Otherwise, we'll go over resources such as silvernest.com. That's a helpful website that helps seniors find roommates or rooms for rent. And lastly, we share and educate how to use the HUD resource locator. That's a really handy website where you can easily find low income or subsidized housing or housing specifically for people with disabilities and older adults. And like I said, I wanted to end on a positive note and highlight some of the great work that we've done in our department and as an organization. So here are some success stories. The first one is that a 66-year-old male wanted to know his status on the Section 8 waiting list, connect with financial assistance, and find housing that's more affordable. He was having trouble affording rent since he was at high risk for COVID-19 and was unable to work. We taught him how to check his status on the waiting list, connect with the Orange County Housing Authority for more information, and apply to different financial assistance programs. We also shared resources to help him with his job search, and through our help and services, we were able to help him move to subsidized senior housing where his rent is much more affordable at $200 a month. Bless you. The second success story is about a 72-year-old female who was getting evicted from Mariposa Villa in Irvine. My colleagues and I were able to secure rental assistance to help pay for this consumer's past due rent and helped her set up a representative payee and caregiving services. So with our support and services, the consumer was able to avoid eviction and continue to live independently. And the third success story is about a 52-year-old male who is paraplegic and utilizes a wheelchair. He needed to make his home more accessible as he was at high risk of falling. Through the Dignity at Home grant, we were able to help make home modifications, including ramps, threshold modifications, and an electronic keypad to make his home entrance more accessible. We were also able to provide voice control devices to help control the lights in his home. And we were able to modify his shower wall to make it more accessible for him with his wheelchair. And lastly, there was a 67-year-old female who shared a Section 8 voucher with her abusive husband. We connected her with legal resources to help with the divorce process. Sorry again for the background noise. Advocated for her to have her own voucher through the Anaheim Housing Authority. And we shared multiple resources with her, such as the Office on Aging's free iPad program, food stamps through CalFresh, and transportation through Okta Access so that she would be able to live independently instead of relying on or sharing everything with her husband. And that is it. I did include our contact information, so you can contact the Dale McIntosh Center or the Office on Aging if you have any consumers who want to get our services. You can also contact our housing team at that email, or you can fill out our DMC referral form. It is open to the public. And I also included my direct contact information.
Wow. Thank you so much, Safira. What a great presentation. And I like how you started with some of the problems that we're facing and also the solutions that are available. People probably have questions, but we're going to hold those to the end. So now I would like to turn over the floor to Stephanie so that we can hear about your program.
Thank you so much, Meredith. Can you all hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Excellent job, Safira. I really enjoyed learning more about your program. Thank you all for having me here today. I like to start with a little story. So when I was 23 years old, I lived at a retirement community. I was in graduate school studying gerontology, and I ran out of my college savings. So I heard about the opportunity to live at Kingsley Manor Retirement Community in Northeast Hollywood. In exchange, I would be able to have free room and board in exchange for 20 hours of work. And an extra side bonus, I found that, you know, really it was a great affordable option, especially in Los Angeles. And they also had a very nice salad bar, so that was good. And I thought that living in a retirement community with 150 older people would probably be a good way for me to tell if gerontology was the career for me. And it definitely was. I loved living at Kingsley Manor, and I've now had a 30-year career in the field of aging. Home sharing at Kingsley Manor was critical to helping me complete my graduate studies and launch my career. But it also helped broaden my perspective and gave me a wider view of the world and helped me become a better person and a better gerontologist. So I'm here today to speak with you about a new intergenerational home sharing program. I didn't know when I was living at Kingsley Manor that I was participating in intergenerational home sharing. But I'm here to talk to you about Home Share Orange County. It's an innovative new intergenerational home sharing program and the first of its kind in Orange County. 3 years ago, when I read the statistics online about homelessness in Orange County, I was shocked to hear that there are so many students who are homeless in the county. They're sleeping in their cars, they're couch surfing on their friends' couches. And this article really shocked me when I read it. It said that there was a UCLA study that found that 1 in 5 community college students in the state of California are homeless. Also 1 in 10 Cal State students and 1 in 20 University of California students were homeless in 2019. And these students are often working 1 or 2 jobs while going to school, and they're still struggling to afford all the costs involved with being a college student these days. And granted, this was before the pandemic and the rise of inflation. So sadly, these numbers are likely higher today. Cal State Fullerton, for instance, had so many students sleeping in their cars that they had to designate a parking lot and reposition security to watch over them at night. And as a mother of three current college students, it just breaks my heart to hear that. And as a gerontologist, I know that there are many older adults in the county who live alone and have a spare room in their home. So there are literally thousands of bedrooms sitting empty every night in Orange County while college students are sleeping in their cars. And I thought to myself, well, why don't we pair these two groups together for the benefit of both? And when I heard about HomeShare Orange County, I was so happy to hear that someone was already working on this idea. And I joined them to help grow the program. And at HomeShare Orange County, we facilitate intergenerational friendships. We help college students stay in school, and we provide a little extra income and help with household chores for homeowners. The students are struggling and they're at risk of dropping out, and we want to help them find safer and more affordable housing than they have right now. We assist the homeowners and the students throughout the process. So it's a guided process led by our organization. And we keep in touch to make sure that it's a successful match throughout the process. The homeowner receives up to $500 a month in rent, and the student provides up to 5 hours of weekly household assistance. And that can be all types of assistance. A big item is help with technology. I know myself, I miss it, and that now that my youngest, it has now flown the coop for college. And so we are having to figure out our technology on our own. So this program really helps in bridging the digital divide between the generations as well. Other types of assistance are help with yard work, maybe running errands, preparing meals together, changing a light bulb, all those kinds of things that a homeowner may need a little bit of help with. The program also is a one semester commitment. So, and then the pair can decide whether they'd like to continue after that. And many of our matched pairs continue with the arrangement after that first semester. We are a program of Homeless Intervention Services of Orange County, formerly His House. You all may have heard of His House, located in Placentia. Carrie Buck is our executive director, and she was awarded a fellowship with Encore.org. And that's an organization focused on bringing older and younger generations together to work on solving some of today's biggest challenges. And so as part of that fellowship, Carrie created a video that includes information about our program, as well as it highlights a couple of our matched pairs that I'd like to share with you today. Before I play the video, I thought I'd give you a little bit of background on our matched pairs. So for the homeowner, we met Kathleen at the Kiwanis Club in Placentia. Kathleen was a fairly recent widow. Unfortunately, her husband died suddenly after surgery. And she was struggling with her grief and being alone in the house for the first time in 20 years. She says that her student Melanie has been a ray of sunshine in her life. And then we met Melanie, the student, through our contacts at Cal State Fullerton. Melanie had gone up during the pandemic to Sacramento to live with some family. And then when Cal State Fullerton suddenly called everyone back for in-person instruction, Melanie was having trouble finding affordable housing. She was living with six other students, and she said it wasn't the best environment to live, let alone to study. And there was a lot of drama, she said. But one of her professors referred her to us, and we paired her with Kathleen. And the good news with this story is Melanie in May graduated magna cum laude from Cal State Fullerton, and she was accepted to the PhD program in audiology at Oregon State, where she's going to be studying in the fall. So now allow me to share my screen, and I will play the video.
when I was in my early 20s, I lived with my grandmother who lived alone and was recovering from a recent surgery. I moved in with her because I needed a safe place to stay. I was far away from home and scared to be on my own. The time we spent together as housemates created an amazing bond that we didn't have when I was little. Neither of us would have ever imagined that we would be as close as adults. I'm Carrie Buck, Executive Director of Homeless Intervention Services of Orange County. We match homeowners with a spare room to rent with college students in desperate need of affordable housing. According to a survey of college students in California, 1 in 5 community college students and 1 in 10 university students are housing insecure. That is over 4,500 young adults at our local college. At a neighboring university, campus officials designated a parking lot for students to sleep overnight in their cars. In Orange County, thousands of older adults live alone, many with a room to spare. Almost 30,000 seniors in the city where our nearest community college is located. Kathleen didn't expect to have a room to spare. Melanie, a senior at California State University Fullerton, needed an affordable place to stay. Students offer 5 hours a week of help around the house in exchange for lower rent. Seniors get help, chores, and bills, but there's so much more going on. In Orange County, home sharing is helping to solve the housing insecurity issue, reducing loneliness, creating friendships and mentorships, building relationships that allow both older and younger people to learn and grow.
Melanie gave me the biggest compliment a couple weeks ago, and she told me that I was the funnest roommate she's ever had. She said I'm as fun as her friend who's her age, but there's no drama.
That's true. From the student perspective, chatting with people that are different ages with me, I think it helps you gain a new perspective. You can learn a lot from people, no matter how old or young they are.
What an amazing pair. Melanie has grown so much and will be off to grad school soon. Kathleen is already looking for a new roommate. Intergenerational home sharing is not a new concept. It happens all over the world, but too many people just don't see its genius. Home sharing is both a solution to housing insecurity and loneliness, and we've just begun to scratch the surface in this country, but we need your help. The problem of housing insecurity is not just the college or government's responsibility. It takes all of us to be part of the solution. If you or someone you know in Orange County has an available room to rent and would like a little help around the house and a friend, contact us today. Students, if you're suffering from housing insecurity, go to www.his-oc.org and submit an application. The need is great, and we can do so much more together so that young adults can finish school and start their careers, and elders can live without isolation and loneliness. It's a win-win solution for all of us.
So we often say with Home Share OC that one spare room can change 2 lives. And both Kathleen and Melanie say that's definitely the case for them. Now that Melanie has moved out, Kathleen has asked me to find a student just like Melanie for her. So that reminded me of when Dave talked about that rare friends are like jewels. They're difficult to find and impossible to replace. And I agree with the home sharing matches, the friendships that are developed. They are rare. It's a big process for us to find the right match, but when we do, it's just magical. It's just wonderful. And home sharing, as Carrie mentioned in the video, it's a time-tested tradition that many communities all over the world have been using to create more housing for more people. Compared with building new housing, home sharing is much faster and more cost-effective. To build new housing can take years and a lot of money. For instance, in December, in Los Angeles, they approved an affordable housing project in Venice that they project will cost $75 million to build. That will be $535,000 per unit. So home sharing, on the other hand, costs $0 to build. And I thought I'd give you a little overview of our process. So it's a guided process throughout that includes 3 main steps. There's an application. So both the homeowner and the student complete an application that includes information about personality, lifestyle, things that they you know, like maybe they don't like a lot of background noise. They like a really quiet environment. So we're going to want to find someone that is has the similar interest. Secondly, we do a match meeting. So we do an in-person match meeting, and we facilitate that meeting and help them, help the pair out with some get to know you questions so that they can get to know each other and questions they may not think of asking on their own. Then we give them some time to think about it before moving forward. If they decide to move forward, then we meet with them again to go through what we call the living together agreement. So that is a written lease agreement that also includes a hold harmless clause to protect both our organization and any referring organizations. And then it also includes all those things like the household rules and the assistance that the student will provide. And then we also have a trial period of a week or so just to see how things are going. And then from that point, we check in with the pair separately every 2 weeks. And to protect the safety of both parties, we do that in 5 key ways. So we do background checks of the students and the homeowners. We also do eligibility checks. So the students have to be in good standing with their school and employed, and the homeowners have to be independent. So students aren't caregivers and homeowners aren't guardians. The students are the ones who are paying the rent. So they have to either be employed or have another source of financial assistance. Thirdly, we do a home assessment to make sure that the home is appropriate and safe for the student. They need to have a private room, but of course the bathroom and the kitchen and all that, it can be shared. Both have to have negative COVID tests prior to move in. And then, as I mentioned, we do regular check-ins. So we check in with them to make sure that everything's going well and to just watch over that there are no issues and that we can address things early if there are. And we have many students on our waiting list right now, about 12, and we're expecting to have more as we enter the fall session. So we really need help reaching homeowners who would be willing to open up their hearts and their homes to this program. Older adults who are mortgage insecure, and maybe those who are struggling with loneliness or isolation. I know with aging, we talk a lot about the dangers of social isolation, and we sure all of us were reminded of that during the pandemic. And then
Stephanie, just a 1 minute warning, because then we're going to have a couple of questions. Yeah,
sure. And that's it. Also, if any of you are involved with the California Master Plan for Aging, I'm looking to connect with that as well, because I think home sharing could help reach several of the goals within the master plan, like more housing options and intergenerational engagement. So thanks very much.
Thank you so much to both of our speakers. I almost have goosebumps. It's just been so amazing to hear about the opportunities and the solutions that we have here in Orange County, both philanthropic and government. So Carolyn Inman, I see that you have your hand raised, and then Elaine.
Well, this is very exciting. Stephanie, I had questions for the first young lady, but Stephanie is the one I need to zero in on. I'm a trustee for the South Orange County Community College District, and we are actually considering housing on campus. There, something like 80% of the community colleges are looking into that. The problem, of course, as you know, is the getting started financially. But this is a fabulous program, this home sharing thing. And I want to, if you could send me some information that I can take back to the colleges, because we're well aware of the number of people that are sleeping in their cars and coming to class, and it's a big problem. I did not know it was 1 in 5. That surprises me almost, but I knew it was a huge problem. So, and I love the way you've created the program. It's very carefully done. It's not just throwing people together or something. I mean, you know, it looks like it's made for success because you take so much time up front. So thank you very much.
Thank you. That's exciting. I'd love to connect with you. Thank you.
Hey, my first question is for Stephanie. Do you have a presentation that you take to the senior centers so that our senior citizens know of the availability of this program?
Yes, I'll be doing a presentation at the Cypress Senior Center in September, but I'd like to connect with other senior centers as well.
Okay. Well, and as SCAC, we do have senior center liaisons. Our members do connect with the senior center. So, you know, if that's something that you'd like to tap into or help have us assist with that connection. And then my second question is for both of our speakers, just to give us an understanding of the scope of the services you provide. Can you tell us either on a monthly or annual basis, how many people approach your organization for assistance and how many are you actually able to assist?
I can go first with that. So we were started in October of 2020. So not the best time to start a home sharing program right during the start of the pandemic. So we, you know, we were on a little bit of a pause there. Overall, since our inception, we have helped 15 students with placement. We have about 12 students right now waiting for placement as well. So I've connected with other home share organizations throughout the state and in other parts of the country. And we all struggle with the same thing as being able to find those home providers and to grow the program. Home sharing is not our social norm, but I'm encouraged to think about Airbnb. We used to think that was crazy. And now look how big that has become. So we're trying to grow and serve more students though.
Okay, thank you. And Shafira?
So I think on average, we'll receive probably 20 referrals per month. So referrals are people who will just ask for resources and we'll just give them general resources. But I think we have a caseload of about like 50 consumers between me and the other housing coordinator, Maggie. So we'll work with our consumers on a more like hands-on basis and ongoing basis. So I think that's kind of like a general snapshot. If Marco and my other manager, Jose, are on here too, so if they have a better idea of the numbers, you could feel free to jump in.
This is Marco. I'm not sure Jose may have better numbers because a lot of our referrals from our Office on Aging, they come through the ADRC. But I could speak specifically to the ADRC. We probably refer between 5 and 7 per month just from the Office on Aging alone, but we do have several other partners. 211 does a lot of referrals to the housing coordinators. They probably do anywhere between 3 and 5. So they probably get close to 20 just from the ADRC alone, plus any consumer that called Dale McIntosh directly. Those I don't see. But if Jose can speak, he may know more about the exact numbers.
Okay. Thank you.
Chair, do we have time for 2 more questions? I know that we're a little over.
Yeah, that would be fine.
Okay. Charlene and then Joni.
Thank you very much to both of our speakers. Wonderful. And kudos to Carrie, the founder, following your vision and your heart. That's great. My question is for Shafira. Could you tell me if there's a way to sign up on your website to get automatic updates as senior housing is available, or is that something we have to pursue? How we can be updated with those housing information?
So unfortunately, there's not really a way for you to subscribe to our websites for like housing updates. But we ourselves as housing coordinators will sign up for, you know, housing updates with different developers, different cities to get notified. And so if a consumer comes in and they're working with us and they say like, oh, we're trying to find a one bedroom in Brea under this budget, whenever we are aware of those housing opportunities, we'll send them to the consumers directly. You know, like, so it's like more of a tailored experience based on their situation versus like a general monthly update.
Thank you. And Joni, do you want to wrap us up in this segment with your question? I can't hear you. If you want to type your question in the chat, I can read it. That's okay. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Safira. And thank you, Stephanie. This has just been an amazing opportunity for us to be able to learn about your services. And we just thank you from the bottom of our hearts for what you're doing to make Orange County a better place for older adults and younger adults. So I'm sure that you'll get a lot of contact from us. I'll spread the word. And thank you in advance for sending your information and your slides and everything that you would like for us to share out as SCAC.
Okay, well, thank you, Shafira and Stephanie, for your presentations. This was very valuable information as SCAC. I can see our wheels are churning, and we're so glad to see that this is taking place in Orange County. And we will be talking about it some more and to see how we can broaden the message and get it out there. But thank you for what you're doing to serve seniors. And thank you, Meredith, for bringing this presentation to us. And if each of you could send Meredith your presentations and then she can share that with us so we all have it to refer back to, that would be greatly appreciated. So you are welcome to stay for the rest of our meeting, but we also understand that you have a lot of work to do in your own profession. So if you need to drop off, we completely understand. But thank you for taking this time with us today. Okay, now we are on to item 8, public comments. At this time, members of the public may address the council regarding any items within the subject jurisdiction, provided that no action is taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by law. Are there any requests to speak?
We did not receive any requests to speak in advance. If there are members of the public who would like to address the board, please use the hand raise icon or press *9 and I will unmute you. And I am seeing one hand up, Chair. Caller, you have 3 minutes to address the board and I will go ahead and unmute you, but you also need to unmute yourself. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. This is Alex Runagi from Supervisor Foley's office. Supervisor Foley wanted me to attend this meeting to learn about what you all are doing on senior housing, because we're very concerned about, in the recent point in time count, all the numbers declined except senior homelessness increased. So obviously, there's so much work to do on senior housing. It's funny because the meeting before this one that they had at 9 a.m. was about youth homelessness. So it's exciting how we're the home share program and the possibilities of those connections. So I just wanted to, on behalf of Supervisor Foley, thank you for all the great work that you do and the time that you put into these important issues. And our office looks forward to working with you however we can to make progress and address the needs of our seniors here in Orange County. So thank you again.
Okay. Thank you, Alex. We appreciate the comments. Hey, are there any other requests to speak, Desiree?
I'm seeing no other hands, Chair.
Okay, thank you. So public comments is now closed. And we are on to chair items and chair comments. The only thing that I have is a reminder to the SCAC members that our bylaws that were recently approved by the Board of Supervisors, remember they've been updated, that does change our election cycle. So soon we will be addressing that. So be thinking about if you would like to be on the executive board and maybe speaking to either myself or a board member and see what that entails. But we no longer will have a nominating committee. The nominations will be taken from the floor at the end of the year, which for us is November, since we are dark in December. So if you have any questions about that, just let me know. But that's the only item that I have to share with you. And now we will move on to item number 10, Office on Aging Updates by our Director of Aging and Veteran Services, Erica Danzak. Erica.
Thank you, Chair. Hi, everyone. Good morning. Great to see all your faces. I want to echo the comments that those presentations were giving me goosebumps. They were very, very inspiring to start our morning out. And thank you so much to Meredith for arranging such inspirational speakers. Everything starts with a good idea, but it's nice to see ideas evolve into something that is actually making an impact. So, as far as the Office on Aging updates, August is a busy month for us behind the scenes administratively. It's when our annual closeout reports are due to the California Department of Aging, and we're very accustomed to doing our annual year-end closeouts to close the books on the last fiscal year in terms of our expenditures and our data reporting. But the thing that's unique about this year and will be over the next few years is that we've received a lot of additional funding sources from the California Department of Aging. It's beyond just our usual area plan programs. And each of those have their own closeout reports and invoices and what have you. So it's a big push to get that complete by August 15th, which is our deadline to the state, but we are on track to meet that deadline, working very closely with the Auditor Controller's office. So that's what's going on behind the scenes. The other priority for the month of August, and I know I gave SCAC a heads up last month, that we are going to be submitting an opt-in paperwork for the new technology grant that the state is funding. It is a non-competitive grant, so we don't necessarily have to apply. We just have to say that Orange County is opting in. And if we opt in, it looks like the allocation that's coming to Orange County will be a little over $3.4 million for senior technology programs. And the nice thing is that the eligible activities under this technology grant are exactly in line with our senior technology program that SCAC supported through the Board of Supervisors. And we just wrapped up with the iPads and the training and the virtual classes. So we're hoping that we'll submit the paperwork in on time and that we will receive the notice of award sometime in October, and then we'll be able to hit the ground running. The $3.4 million we have until December of 2024 to spend. And so our first priority will be to utilize some of that funding to expand the data programs for those seniors that received an additional, the original 2200 iPads, so that they can get an additional year of data plan out of their iPads. Because if you recall, the $2.2 million was only going to cover an initial 12-month data plan. So that will be set to expire in October. And then with the funding that will remain, we're hoping to expand the program and purchase additional devices, a new set of data plans, and then also arrange for some training. Don't know if it'll be through Get Set Up necessarily. We might explore some other training options, even in a group setting at senior and community centers. But our goal is to expand beyond the 2200 to make sure that people that didn't get one the first time around that are on a waiting list will have the opportunity to get a device and start learning how to use it with this new grant. So, and Elaine already mentioned my last update, which was going to just bring your attention to the fact that the board approved the new bylaws for SCAC. So we are operating under those new bylaws. Not a whole lot of material changes other than the ones that Elaine mentioned, the biggest just impacting the timing of our elections. So I can also be a resource if anyone has questions about that. And that's all I have.
Okay, thank you, Erica. Are there any questions for Erica? Mary?
Yes, thank you. Very informative.
I understand that there was a lot of extra funding. There were for a lot of nonprofits throughout the pandemic time. And I'm wondering if there are any programs that you were able to provide in addition to the technical assistance one that we look at is being risked not having the funding coming up, you know, once this cycle goes through. So is there anything that we need to be thinking about as far as additional funding for programs that are going to season out?
What we have seen is with the master plan for aging, the state has really put their money where their mouth is, and they are increasing investments in aging programs across the board. So our Adult Protective Services program through the Social Services Agency has seen funding for emergency housing assistance. We have also seen influxes in funding for senior nutrition programs. The technology programs are also very promising because that was outlined as a priority and really reared its ugly head through the pandemic as everyone was more dependent on technology now more than ever. So to answer your question, we're not really sure exactly what will be one-time or temporary funding versus what will be ongoing funding. But right now, I think we're in a good situation in light of the master plan and the attention on aging programs that we are seeing new investments that we have never seen before. So we're hoping to demonstrate early successes so that we can make a case for sustained funding well into the future. And we are in a good situation at the Office on Aging. We do have very strong support from our Board of Supervisors. So we are expanding our office, staffing up, adding positions. So we feel like we're well poised to be able to, you know, direct the additional funding where it needs to go.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Erica. Any other questions for Erica? Okay, seeing none, we will move on to the standing committee reports. Gene Hernandez.
No report. We were very quiet this last month.
Okay, and any of the standing committee chairs like to say anything? Seeing none, we will now move on to senior center liaisons.
You know what? I think Evelyn wanted to say something.
Okay.
If I saw that correct twitch.
Where's... Oh, there. Hi. Oh, you're on my second screen. Hi, Evelyn.
This is the finger searching for the mute button.
Okay.
I just wanted to let everybody know that on Monday we are having our meeting starting at 9:30, and we will have a speaker from the district attorney's office, and she will be talking to us about elder abuse, and it should be a very good session. I hope you can attend.
Okay. Thank you. Hey, any other standing committee reports? No, let's move on to senior center liaisons. Carolyn Inman is our new senior center liaison coordinator, and you should have all received your roster. Carolyn.
Hello, thank you very much. We have a couple of things. I need a person to be a liaison for Midway City. What we put down didn't work out. So if there's someone that would volunteer to do that, that would be fabulous. Jeffrey, I wrote you a note on the chat because I didn't think that you had an assignment. I don't know if, you know, let me know if that works. So if you can take on another one, or especially if you don't have an assignment, then we need that to happen. I wanted to say to Lake Forest, to Sandy, that I got that correction, and I was without a computer for a week. got way behind, and it was been a crazy time, but I will get that corrected now that I'm back in technologically available. Okay, then the second thing I wanted to say was that we want to have kind of a little event. Maybe it's not really a contest, but we would like you to participate, and we will give you credit if you do that. Okay, so the event is, I think Meredith is the one that suggested it. It's a great idea. When you go to your center, whichever, all of them. Some people have several. We want you to take a picture. We know everybody has a phone with pictures on it now. Take a picture of you and one or more of the staff people that you send things to, right? So I would make it with Denise Correa, et cetera, okay? So, or Amber, but whoever it is, and then send it. I think the easiest thing, send it to me, and then we'll keep them, and we want to have an activity and maybe a board of the thing, you know, share the pictures at the November gathering that we are going to have. So that might be fun and just a kind of an excuse to go in and talk to the people again and see what their needs are or whatever that conversation might look like. Any questions?
Okay, if you're not familiar, Midway City is adjacent to Westminster. So if you're near Westminster, Midway City would be a good center to pick up. Also, if you say, well, gosh, I have on the list, I have centers that I am not near, that's because we have more senior centers in the county than we have SCAC members. So do some recruiting, because we do have some vacancies on SCAC in both the supervisor appointments, the city selection, and also executive board. So if you know someone that is qualified and would be a good participant in SCAC, this is a time to speak to them, and I'll be happy to connect with them and tell them, you know, what SCAC is and what the responsibilities are. But if you're covering a center that you say, well, why do I have more than one center? That's why. So you all need to do some recruiting. And we need to make sure all of the senior centers are covered, because it's our responsibility to be getting that communication out to them and hearing from them. So now you all have a mission.
And the other thing too, as you're recruiting, we are better covered in south of, Irvine South. We're not so well covered in the north Orange County part. So if you know someone that would like to be with us, that would be a particularly good place perhaps to recruit some new people. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Mary, your hand is up. I don't know if it's still up or if you had another question.
Sorry, still up.
Okay. All right. Thanks. So now we'll move on to the presentation schedule. Our coordinator, Meredith, do you have anything for us?
So we are lined up for the rest of the year. When we meet next, we're going to have a presentation from three panelists, including our very own Barbara Sloat on intergenerational opportunities and creative pursuits for older adults. The other two panelists will be talking about an older adult artist in residence program. And also we have Jeff from the Logan and Nigel Senior Center that's going to be talking about tech tutoring. Oh, okay. So I'm hoping that we'll be able to spark some ideas like we did today for replication. In October, we're going to have Saddleback coming to talk about lifelong learning for older adults. And then we will finish out the year in November with presenters in regard to Family Caregiver Month. Jack Light from the Caregiver Resource Center is confirmed, and I'm planning on reaching out to Alzheimer's Orange County to see if they might participate. And then we need to start planning for next year. So I'm not sure how that's going to look like, but if you have ideas for speakers and unique programs, I think we should start gathering those together so that we can have meaningful and impactful presentations each month. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Meredith. And again, thank you for today. Those are phenomenal speakers. Much appreciated. Lots of good information for us. And when you're thinking about speakers, remember, we are aligned with the Master Plan on Aging, and our speakers should be bringing us information that we can then use as we put together our priorities to forward to the Board of Supervisors. So the speaker should be in areas that basically the Board of Supervisors have some purview in that area, so that we can use the information we hear from the speakers to, to advocate for seniors to the board. Because all of the work we do throughout the year goes towards that workshop that we then develop the priorities we're submitting to the Board of Supervisors. Okay, announcements by SCAC members. Who has an announcement? We're almost to the end of our meeting. So this is probably your final chance to speak up today. Any announcements? I don't see any hands going up. We've covered it all today. Okay. And our next SCAC meeting is on September 9th. And Meredith has already shared with you who our speakers will be. On Monday, the Senior Citizens Engagement Committee has a meeting and the speaker will be from the District Attorney's Office. Then next Wednesday, Wellbeing Reimagined meets at 1. And on September 8th is our Housing and Transportation Standing Committee. So if you are not on one of those standing committees but would like to attend their meeting, just let Desiree know and she can forward you the link, the Zoom link for that meeting. So you are all on one, but you're welcome to attend the other meetings as well. And seeing as I don't see any hands going up and you all want to get on with your Friday, I want to thank you for all that you're doing on behalf of Orange County senior citizens. And our meeting is now adjourned. Thank you and have a great weekend. Bye.